Right, 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean Kelly Dalton, Dr. Bill, 52 years at the University of South Alabama, 3 decades plus radio broadcasting. He's with us, and I came with traffic. By the way, another traffic update here coming from the text line. Thank you. You can always hit us up on the text line or the Twitter feed. Brandon says, accident just occurred at 31 and 181 in Spanish Fort. All crossing lanes are blocked, and only right turns are happening right now. Traffic blocking up in all directions. So once again, this is at 31 and 181 in Spanish Fort. Accident just happening about 10 minutes ago. So beware of that area as you're heading to wherever it is on this, yes, y'all, Thursday. I know a lot of people think it's like a Tuesday, but today is a Thursday.
Friday Eve, it's okay to say it.
It is a Friday Eve for sure. This segment of the show brought to you by the folks at CSpire. Here's what they've got going. Listen to this. The CSpire tech movement is taking over the region because the Southeast and Mid-South can't compete for the technology jobs of the future without the proper resources or training. So CSpire is investing in the education, infrastructure, and people to make the Southeast and Mid-South number one in technology. Only 10% of our high schools teach AP computer science, so CSpire is teaming up with schools and public partners to give teachers the training and resources they need to teach it in their classrooms. They also set up coding programs and competitions to give students the opportunity to pursue careers they never thought possible. And because high-speed internet and technology is a foundation for economic development, CSpire is on a mission to deliver managed information technology services to more businesses in our region. The future is out there, and the CSpire tech movement is leading the way. Join the movement at cspire.com/tech movement. TECHMVMT. Check it out today. All right, a couple things here as they are getting started in Washington. Kelly, you've been watching this, so it's go time in Washington as we're seating a new Congress. Democrats now in control, or as I like to say, it's now y'all's fault in the House of Representatives, and we are in day 13 of a government shutdown. The president talked about that yesterday as well. Will something come out of today's day one?
Yeah, you know, I've been monitoring it, as most Americans, I'm hoping, are as well, when it comes to understanding that this partial government shutdown, all the movements that are attached to that, and the changing of the guard, and how that will impact us as we're in a new year. You know, I always say, no matter what side you're on, you want to know what our lawmakers are doing. You want to know how this impacts your bottom line, your family, your education, your health. And, you know, we've been talking about the different headlines and the different entities that are impacted by federal government workers being on furlough. I mean, I've read some pretty, gosh, it seems like not safe for work type articles about what's happening at our national parks and how people are just not cleaning up after themselves.
Yeah, well, you saw that one yesterday with the overflowing, without getting in detail with
right.
The pit toilet situations. And
mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the different people who are volunteering to come and help clean up and bring mm-hmm. toilet paper so that mm-hmm. there is an abundance of supplies for those who need them. And the disrespect that's happening at our parks, it's just...
It's sad that just a side note, but you wonder about that. Are we just the thin blue line, like we talk about with law enforcement, away from chaos? When you see, like, things at the national park, so we're a big fan of national parks in our family. We go to them, and Great Smoky Mountains National Park, a whole bunch, like, yearly. And to see the situation where everything looks like it's fine, everybody acts right, and then all of a sudden you have a situation like this, and idiots come out of the woodwork to take advantage of situation. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's entitlement. And Americans, mm-hmm. unfortunately, are entitled and think that people are going to clean up after them all the time.
Yeah, how many of us?
It seems like a lot more than I would have thought before, because they just don't take care of themselves in so many situations. And I know there's good people out there. You mentioned the people that are taking mm-hmm. Items to help out, but there's a lot of people that aren't. But today, I guess we can expect the House, as soon as they convene, to try to pass legislation to reopen the government. Of course, that will be DOA as soon mm-hmm. as it gets past Congress, because they're not doing anything for the wall, and the president will certainly not sign that. He said that yesterday during his part of his 90-minute speech at the Capitol.
Yeah, so it's got to. So two things. First of all, the House can do whatever. It's got to go over to the Senate, where Mitch McConnell says this idea that they're talking about right now is a non-starter.
It isn't comprehensive. It ignores the needs of border security. It's exactly the kind of proposal you'd expect If the incoming House Democrats are choosing to stage a political sideshow rather than doing the hard work of helping to govern the country. In other words, a total non-starter.
Now, of course, his compatriot in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, says, wait a second, Mitch was on board.
I asked him directly. I said, Mr. President, give me one good reason why you should continue your shutdown of the eight cabinet departments while we are debating our differences on Homeland Security. He could not give a good answer.
Yeah, I said Mitch McConnell was on board with this. President, yesterday in that presser you were talking about, Dalton, said, hey, it's as long as it takes.
As long as it takes. I mean, look, I'm prepared. I think the people of the country think I'm right. I think the people of this country think I'm right. Again, I could have done nothing. I could have had a lot easier presidency by doing nothing. But I'm here. I want to do it right.
Now, what is right? What is that number? Well, that was part of the discussion as well.
Well, I'd rather not say it. Could we do it for a little bit less? It's so insignificant compared to what we're talking about. You know, I've heard numbers as high as $275 billion we lose on illegal immigration. And here you have a wall where you're talking about to complete, because, again, a lot has already been done.
You know, here's one of the big problems, too, is we're not saying what's real. Okay, we're going to talk about it's about $1.3 billion, it's about $5 billion. It's not, y'all. I mean, go back to the well on this. I've been saying this for 3 weeks. If all of a sudden there was a giant publisher's clearinghouse check delivered to the Treasury for $5 billion to pay for the wall, the Democrats are not going to then say, okay, let's go ahead with the wall. They're not going to do it. So, once again, you can be on either side of this discussion, but let's just have an honest discussion. It is pro-wall or anti-wall. Don't pretend like all of a sudden Republicans and Democrats in Washington are worried about how much money we're spending.
Right.
We don't have. Give me a break.
There's a lot of peacocking going on right now.
It's like, oh, well, yeah, we're concerned with overspending. You're not concerned with overspending. You have a you're against the wall. The president and his supporters are for the wall. Just say it. Just say it and then move the conversation forward.
I don't think either side should play poker. Do you? Because they don't have faces that make you think maybe they will or maybe they won't. I mean, when Nancy Pelosi says here's what she's going to do the moment if she is, you know, put back into, you know, Speaker of the House in that position. And then, you know, looking at this tweet, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says Senate will not consider legislation expected to be introduced by House Democrats in the shutdown, just like Dalton alluded to. So everyone is just putting it all out there on the table. And at the end of the day, the taxpayers are the ones left, you know, looking like we're watching a tennis match.
Right. I just want to make sure that everybody is watching the real tennis match. And the real tennis match is a political move. Number one, the signature item for President Trump is the wall, is border security. Okay, that is a signature trophy, a defining moment of his first term. Democrats now have a chance with control of the House to deny him that. Okay? That's what this is. And as long as they would argue it that way, I would say, listen, you got different sides, you battle it out. But my point is, this whole president saying, oh, well, maybe we'll negotiate on the money and it might not be $5 billion. It's not about the money. I wish it was. I wish we had a Washington that said, you know what, we just don't have the money to spend. Mm-hmm. But I've never seen that Washington.
Right. No, not in our lifetime. But I think one of the issues, though, is that names are changing out. You know, what was once a wall becomes now, some are referring to as just increased border security.
It's a picket fence, actually.
Right. Or slats.
Yeah.
But at the same
rabbit fence.
But at the same time, when then candidate Trump was running, he said Mexico would build this wall. He was emphatic with saying Mexico would build this wall. And then
he painted himself into a corner
correct.
Like he does so many times. And that's where he is now.
Well, and then you remember the viral video of then President Vicente Fox, who said we're not building the bleeping wall.
Right.
And so it's now countries going back and forth.
But Fox is out, new guys in.
Yeah. Right. And so you got to keep up with the soap opera, the trilogy. But when the words keep changing, then it's very confusing, and we know in this political cycle, with it being 24/7 news, just throw out a shiny object and everybody starts running toward another direction, and so we forget what it is we really were talking about from jump.
And as the Democrats gain a little bit of power and take over the Congress today, it's been interesting and pretty frustrating to kind of watch them volley the political rhetoric back and forth and try to win over, I guess, the American people by saying what they've done or haven't done. You had the Democrats Democrats yesterday, Schumer and Pelosi, saying, we've pled with the president to open at least 8 of the government agencies that should not be affected by this. But you also had the president, who spoke for 90 minutes yesterday because, you know, he was alone for Christmas, or he claims he was alone for Christmas and New Year's Day.
He always made it sound like the movie Home Alone. I was here in the White House by myself, except for the guys with machine guns.
Right, that's exactly what I thought. He said the machine gunners, and he was waving at them, and they wouldn't even smile back because they were busy doing their jobs.
Yeah, that's their job.
But then there's a big issue with whether or not he really was there, because he said he was at the Oval Office, and if you're familiar, a Marine is always posted up outside of the Oval Office if the president is in fact inside there. So then that became a whole other story. Is he or is he not? Where is he? Where is he not?
I think he was there.
Well, he could have been just in the White House.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Versus...
Right. But that's my point. It's detracting away from...
What
does that have to do with the fact that we have a partial shutdown in effect? We're in day 13. There are people who are furloughed. And then you look at these hashtags of people who are saying what they're having to deal with because they're not getting paid. I mean, people saying they can't pay for their weddings that they were planning, or they have new babies on board, or they have spouses with PTSD and they're the only, you know, the only wage earner in the home. I mean, it's real life people who are really affected by the soap opera that we're watching play out on the national stage.
All right, let's go to the phones, grab some calls here at 343-0106. And Mike in beautiful Baldwin County up first. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
I was listening to y'all, and I was listening to another show this morning.
Bad choice.
Hey, listen, it's all good. But I tend to think of myself as a reasonable person, a man of peace, and I like to think things out before I act upon it at times. And what I'm about to say, I hope people don't look at me as a weirdo, but don't you kind of feel like we're in a type of civil war in this country, not won by arms, but one for the soul of what this country was and still is to a point, but it seems like we're always constantly fighting against a group that wants to change us in a new direction from what we are not. And it seems like the frustration that most Americans feel is that they don't really, I hear it sometimes that we have a voice, but sometimes it feels like we don't truly have a voice anymore. It's being ran from within, that the governance of it seems like it's a governance of dividing us to a point where something's going to break. And it just seems like that's what I feel. Again, I'm not talking about arms and stuff like that. I'm talking about within us, it just seems like there's such a great divide that people are just getting so frustrated to the point to where, are we in danger as a country? Is it so far-fetched what I'm saying, to the point to where it borders on ridiculous of what I'm saying? That's kind of how I feel right now when I listen and when I see the frustration and the combativeness, it seems like, in our Constitution up there in the White House and stuff. Something don't feel right with this.
I appreciate you bringing it up. You know, we've talked about this in the past, and you mentioned Washington being part of it. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. You could say Washington part of it. I think what has not been done is the deep dive into the inflaming or the wholesale cloth creating of differences in Americans that were done by, you know, whether Russian troll farm or something out there. Because we're told... And one thing we try to do on this radio show is cut through the BS. And, you know, now it might be my version of BS, and then you can disagree, but cut through it and say what's real. Because there's the narrative out of the mainstream media. There's the narrative out of Washington where people are. All I have to go on is what I do in my regular life and talking to people. And when I talk to people, it's funny. You get people together, real Americans, not in Washington, and it's funny how people can go, yeah, I do disagree with so-and-so on this or that, this, but they're not a monster, right? And there are people on the fringes of both ideas, the extremes of left and right, that completely do truly hate other Americans. I think the majority of Americans are somewhere in between, and if they sat down, they go, yeah, you know, we disagree about this and that, but I don't think it's that feeling you're talking about. I know that it's valid what you're saying because it's portrayed that way, but I don't know if in reality we the people are there yet. Maybe there are people trying to lead us to that direction, but you know what you got to do is say no. Here's what I believe, and that person believes something else, and I'm going to fight for what I believe in and what I believe in for this republic. At the same time, that person over there, they're not a monster. They're not a two-dimensional creature. There's probably some things we agree on. And, you know, that's and that agreeing with people somewhere in the middle is also what got Donald Trump elected. It's what made populism so very popular now, because you can find these everybody agrees on subjects, and or most people agree on subjects and move forward. So I think there's more of that going on, Mike, than there is of what we're told that we're on the edge of this great calamity.
I agree with what you just said, but I don't know if we have. It just seems like on the West Coast you got this idea, on the Northern East Coast we have this idea of America, but it seems like when you get into the South, to the Midwest area, you get what I call a traditional American view. But it almost seems like, what are we teaching our children? Are we teaching our children that really the only way to get through life is to shut the door on another person that they have a different idea?
Yep.
And just walk away from it? You don't know how to really carry on a conversation, just like you said. We can what is this saying? I can agree to disagree, and then we can move on. But it seems like it's just a bombardment after bombardment after bombardment about it, and it's just so frustrating at times. And I think we all need a little pick me up at times, and I guess that's what I'm doing right now. I need a pick me up.
Hey, Ben. Well, I'm happy to be part of that.
I really see the future of America. I think we're going through a hiccup right now in this country, but it just seems like from what you hear, from what you see, it's almost like a constant, always that divided as a country.
There we go, Mike, and I appreciate your call and your sentiments. Got to run to the break here, and maybe this is, I was going to play this to talk about the passing of Daryl Dragon, of course, of the captain in Tennille, and Alabama link here, Tony Tennille from Montgomery, but maybe this is what the country needs. Love will keep us together.
That's very true.
That's some rollicking piano of easy listening favorites from the 70s. Coming right back. Quite possibly one of the more popular throws for Mardi Gras 2019, snakes in a jar. It has to be a plastic jar. You can't have glass items coming off the floats, but snakes in a... No? What, you don't think? Okay. All right, just an idea here. By the way, too, looking at the 2019 schedule for our buddies at Cottage Hill Package, the Manis family says they're getting kicked off the right way. And for craft beer fans, I'd say one of the godfathers of the craft beer world, Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, they got a free tasting event coming up on the 17th. The Titan, as they call it, of the craft brewing industry. Sierra Nevada coming by to debut some beers for us to sample. Dalton, they got their Brute IPA, their Resilience Butte County Proud IPA, the Sierra Veza Lager, the Narwhal. Who doesn't need a narwhal in their beer? with extra pieces of narwhal. Narwhal Imperial Stout and some other surprises. Go ahead and be there for that tasting. This is Thursday, January 17th. Starts at 6 o'clock. Free event, as always, at Cottage Hill Package. And go by and see them. I would suggest, if Andrew, if you're listening, that maybe you need to send some craft beer samples to Elizabeth Warren. You know, she released that Instagram live feed, live stream thing to show she's just like everybody else, and she said this.
Well, I wish Mitt could be more.
No, that's not the cut. That does not sound like, that does not sound, there we go. Now that's the cut.
Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
She's going to get me a beer. Okay, maybe we can get her a Sierra Nevada.
I think she'd like that. Do you think Elizabeth Warren could take down a full growler from Cottageville Package Store?
Yeah, and probably not. and of course, people are suggesting it would be a India Pale Ale that she would be after. I don't know. I don't know if that's what she'd be after. I tell you this, CottageHillPackage.com, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, and make sure to like them on Facebook. All right, to the phones we go, and Freddie is in Mobile. Hey, Freddie.
Good morning, and Sean and Kelly, I'm speaking to you. I'd just like to know, when are you conservatives going to back off and tell your president and my president to come off that book and that ride he's on, because he did it a job to Jeff Sessions, and now he's going to get on Mitch Romney. Sean, when you get a chance, tell me, didn't Mitch Romney get more positive votes than the president did? Now he's threatening the Mormons because he said he know everything. What is going on?
What do you mean? Now, Mitt Romney had that op-ed, which I didn't understand the politics of that, why you'd roll in first day with that op-ed. The president said this yesterday.
Well, I wish Mitt could be more of a team player. You know, I'm surprised he did it this quickly. I was expecting something, but I was surprised he did it this quickly.
So, Mitt Romney, so you're saying he's attacking, but we got to say that Mitt Romney's also punching the president, so I don't know how it's all on President Trump's watch.
But he ran for president at one time, and he had millions and millions of people to vote for him, so he does have a voice in what's going on in this country. He doesn't like what the president has done.
Yeah.
He said Syria, in all the countries in the United States, we got formed in 1492. It's been there forever. Call it sand and death. What is that, Uncle?
I don't know. It seemed to resonate with a lot of folks yesterday. Can we get anything from Mitt Romney? Do we have audio here?
I made it very clear. I've always been, if you will, a rodent and rabbit hunter, all right? Small varmints, if you will. And I began when I was 15 or so and have hunted those kinds of varmints.
Good morning. It's 8:35 here on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for getting your Thursday started with Mobile Mornings. And right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. I know the 2018 end-of-year sale at McConnell Automotive went fantastic from everything I'm hearing, but the deals never stop. What's going on at the lot at McConnell today?
Well, I'm sitting here with one of my good buddies, Turner Ward, who's a big baseball guy and player and now a coach, and I'm seeing him in his Range Rover. I'm trying to show him how fancy this new pickup truck, this Denali pickup truck, is. I think it has more features than a Range Rover. But we're just so appreciative and thankful to everybody in Mobile and the Gulf Coast, Dalton, for maybe the biggest sale we've ever had in December, and we appreciate so many people trusting us, and the sales will continue. And the thing I want to invite everybody to do, if they're driving a Ford, a Dodge, Chevy, even the old GMC, come to McConnell and check out this new pickup truck. It is blowing people away the way it looks, the way it drives. It's bigger than a Ford. It drives better than a Dodge. It's got more features than anything out there. And the website, Dalton, we got it on there, and we still have some remaining 18 models with huge discounts. So we're just excited about starting a new year, buddy.
Yeah, I love hearing that. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a good one.
Y'all be blessed, Dalton. Take care.
All right, that's Mitch McConnell. You'll want to go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You can find them on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, day 36, FM Talk 106.5, and it is a Thursday. Reminding folks, even though it seems like a Tuesday to a lot of folks, it's a Thursday as we have this shortened week, and that means we get to talk to our buddy Rob Hulbert with Landyap. Hey, man.
Good morning, guys.
Good
How are
morning.
Y'all? Everybody have a happy new year?
Oh,
no.
Yes.
No.
We got hit in the head with a falling bullet, so we're all good.
You know, that side note, we got a lot of other stuff to talk about. You and I have talked about this, gosh, at this radio station and others in the past. We've probably been having this conversation for, I don't know, Rob, 15 years. I don't want to say we're getting old, but 15 years, you and I, on the radio together. Maybe we need to do a better job in this country of teaching basic physics. You know,
gravity.
Yeah, how gravity works.
Gravity.
You know, and I always tell the story of re-roofing a house one summer as a boy, a house on Mount Island there in Midtown, and the number of slugs we pulled out of the roof.
Mm.
Three different bullets that had impacted the roof of that house and didn't go through, but they were lodged between. They had gone through the shingles and into the plywood of the roof. I mean, quit doing that. We shouldn't have to have a major announcement every time. Just how about not doing that?
Yeah, as long as your head is tougher than shingles, you're okay. But, you know.
And
I told them last week, you know, this is my, we've had two offices that have had leaks from falling bullets.
And since you told us that last week, Rob, I want to thank you for that, because that was my fun fact at every New Year's Eve party I was able to make it to.
Yeah, I'm glad that's, well, you must have been at some boring party.
Zing. Zing, he'll be here all week.
But, you know, we had a conversation at the house because the kids, they were saying, well, what's that? And I said, well, people like to shoot guns into the air around this time and 4th of July, and they asked the question, why?
Yeah. I'm with
them. We call that semi-automatic gunfire.
That's just there's zero tolerance.
Oh, I love the sound of a nice repeating rifle going off when it's being done safely. I like that, just not into the air. But that's right. Hey, that we'll say.
I just like how in Mobile we can tell the difference between fireworks and gunfire.
And gunfire. Well,
yeah. They setting off fireworks on that. Like, no, that's a pistol.
Yeah,
and the pets know too.
That's a rifle.
Yeah, the pets know too. They're like running around like.
Right. Unless you have hunting dogs, and they're very excited when they hear gunfire. All right, I want to get into we were talking about this in the first half of this hour, the shutdown in Washington, day 13 of the partial shutdown, and you point out that maybe Mobile's heading for its own shutdown, kind of.
Well, we've had the ongoing saga going on over there, but today the council will try to override Mayor Stimson's veto of Ordinance 14034, which would basically it would make the mayor's office consult with the council before making large contracts. The big one that is really, I guess, the impetus of this is the waste management contract. And we've done a lot of reporting on it. I don't know how many people have read about it. It's great stories, but it's probably one of those things people fall asleep going, oh, waste management, who cares? But, the city made some very poor contracts with waste management over years and years ago, and it's come back to really bite us a lot over the last couple of years, and we've had some real problems with that, and it's going to cost a lot of money over time to fix those things. But so what the council saying at this point is they want to be consulted in such large contracts. The mayor's office, and on the other hand, has turned around yesterday and basically said, is appealing the citizens to call their city councilors and say, this is undoing progress in the city and attempting to choke the mayor's contracting authority through an ordinance. And so there's a fight going on. The mayor has vetoed this, but it looks likely today that that veto will be overridden.
All right, so once again, I mean, back up for somebody slow like me. So the idea is, once again, the idea of what the executive branch versus the legislative branch in city government can do.
It's that, simply that, again, Sean.
Oh, wait a second. So there was a lawsuit. Yeah. Wait a second. So help me, Rob, because there was a lawsuit that was brought, and I was told, we're told by people on both sides, in other words, the mayor's side and the council side, that lawsuit was not brought for any, because any animosity. It was to get some clarification and maybe some precedent set on how the Zogby Act works, right? Didn't you hear that?
That's
okay.
More particular, how it works in this one situation as far as hiring this individual.
Okay.
Yes.
But then that went to if I'm right, correct me if I'm wrong here, that went to mediation.
That's what we hear.
Not a judge. So if the...
judge ordered mediation.
But it makes no sense to me. I must be missing something, because mediation just gets people to agree on something and move something down the road, whether it be a civil matter or something like that. We're looking for precedent here, right? We're looking for clarity.
You and I have discussed this before. That even if they come out of this mediation with an agreement on the hiring of the public relations person for the council, that does not solve the issue here. The basic issue is they are fighting over who has what authority, and that is plain and simple what it is. There's a deep divide over what authority they each believe they have.
Yeah, I mean, this gets, because I'm looking at a post here from Councilman Richardson on Facebook, said Mayor Stimson made a preemptive attack on city council ordinance, and he gives a number here, will be voted on at tomorrow's council meeting. In a nutshell, this ordinance will simply require contracts to be approved by the council, as is already required by law. This is necessary because it's recently come to our attention that in just the last year alone, Mayor Stimson issued some 94 contracts with a value of more than $4 million. Not only has the council not voted on any of them, we have not even seen any of those contracts. But this, I mean, this goes right back to the whole, this is a whole thing of who gets to do what. I mean, how a mediator is going to figure that out. I'm growing tired of this.
Yeah, it's fatiguing, and it is difficult to say, you know. I think it is really incumbent upon, I hope that the judge will look at this and say, realize there's a bigger issue at hand here, and rule on this. You know, give some guidance on this, because the mediator is not going to offer that guidance, I don't think. Unless the mediator can go further on this and have everybody agree that this is your authority and this is your authority. But I have a hard time believing that they're going to accept that until it's written down and said, you know, by law, this is what you can do.
That's what I'm saying. So, and somebody can correct me here and hit me up on the text line if I'm wrong here, that I don't think a mediator can set that kind of precedent. I mean, I've been told the whole time, whenever a question came up about the Zogby Act, well, Sean, it has to go back to Montgomery and it has to go through the state and has to have an opinion set on it. A mediator, the way I understand mediators, they don't do that. Judges do that. Courts do that.
Yeah. I think that's where it's all going, regardless of what comes out of this, is we're headed to the Supreme Court eventually on this.
All right. Well,
my guess. You know, I think this is just, I find it hard to believe either side's going to back down.
Hey, it seems like we're going through the motion of this step that seems to be, like you said, probably eventually does go to a court. Why even go through this step, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, you know, we'll see what happens when this occurs, you know, when this passes, what the actual result is going to be, what is it going to, you know, how is it going to be used, I mean, I think there's almost no chance that the veto isn't overridden, so it becomes the new ordinance here for the city, and, you know, I guess we'll have to see then how does the council use it.
Is Zogby Act is specific to Mobile, but is there anything that's an analog to that you've heard of that could be looked at, like that, you know, Poughkeepsie over here uses a very similar system, and here's how it breaks down.
Well, I mean, I don't think that, you know, I don't think Zogby is, you know, written out of whole cloth, new cloth. This is a form of government. I think these powers are not unusual, but there's always arguments about these sorts of things, and there have been. And you know, I think one of the things that Mayor Stimson said, he has said is one of the most important pieces of advice he got from Sam Jones when Jones was turning over the keys to the city to him. Basically, Jones said, you have to watch out that the council is always going to be trying to take your authority. And that's one of the things the mayor feels very strongly about with this, as he has said, is that it's not just his term in office, but he's thinking about what future mayors are going to be able to do, what they won't be able to do if certain things are allowed to happen. Of course, the council has a different point of view on that. And they have expressed that basically since Stimson came into office, is that, you know, since the beginning of the time he came into office, they have been trying to put the mayors of office in a little bit more subordinate role to the council.
Hey, up against a news break, can you hang on a second?
Sure.
All right, coming right back. More with Rob Holbert from Landyap, landyapmobile.com. We'll talk about the new issue out. He's got a man in a John Deere hat, so it got my attention. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more when we come back. We're at 850 FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings, glad to have you here on this Thursday. I know it seems like a Tuesday. It is a Thursday. You can tell it's a Thursday because our buddy Rob Holbert from Landyap and Landyap Mobile is on, landyapmobile.com is on. And if people want to pick up a copy of the new issue, explain, first of all, that picture, a man in a John Deere hat. You had my attention with that green.
You know, the famous Burris verse market over there has been taken over by Greg Burris and his family. And so they are, Dale Leash did a good story with them, just talking about taking the farm back over and the market back over, and it's a landmark over in Baldwin County, so a lot of folks pretty excited to have them back doing their thing.
All right, and if people want to get a copy of that, where do they find it?
You can find us at 1,500 locations all over Mobile, Baldwin County, those beautiful purple boxes and the hideous pink boxes, and also go online at Landnet Mobile. Check us out there, and you can have it delivered to your house for $1 a week. Go to the website and click on home delivery. We'll get you set up.
All right, a ton of texts coming in on this. This one says, simply, the more people that go over or peruse a contract, the better the decision on the contract. Personally, I do not care for the mayor's bully tactics. I grow weary of his. His is the only right decision push. That's Sam from Mobile. So saying more eyes on that contract. I want to, and speaking of that, Councilman John Williams checking in as well. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning, John.
Good morning.
All right, so John, you've listened to the conversation so far. First of all, let me just be self-serving here. Is anything that I'm saying about a mediator resonating with you? Am I missing something?
A process of mediation can end up in two ways. One is a decision between the parties that is only as good as long as the parties exist. So if a member of the council or that decided on this or on the mediation, or the mayor changes, then the result of the mediation is non-binding.
Yeah.
But the mediation could include binding legislation.
Wait, it can create legislation? I mean, you mean a mediator can create laws?
He can't direct it. Now, I'm going to say a mediator doesn't direct anything. A mediator brings parties together and encourages them to work through.
Sure, I get that. That's my problem. That's fine in a civil matter. But if we're looking, when you had called in last time, you said, "Hey, we're all kind of looking for clarity on the rules here."
I still agree. Unless mediation ends in state legislation that we agree to and work together on, then I think we have no progress whatsoever on this.
Okay, that's okay, Rob. I'm sorry. I wanted to hear. John's opinion on that.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
Hey, Rob.
Hi, John.
Back there.
Yeah.
I do appreciate you, man. I want to tell you that, too. All right.
y'all call each other after the show, please. So where do you go today? From the council's perspective, John, where do you go today?
Where we go today is, on the 11th, we introduced this ordinance. On the 18th, we voted on it unanimously. The mayor last night fired the campaign first round. That is media campaign, social media campaign, and now I suspect that 7 council members will come back to this and vote 7-0 again.
Okay, there it is. We will maybe talk to you tomorrow after the vote, see how that happens. Councilman John Williams, thanks for your time.
Happy New Year, you guys.
Happy New Year.
Take care.
All right, so Rob, there's one council person's perspective on this. I got to tell you.
Yeah, that was good to hear. It's interesting to hear John's point of view on that and his knowledge of being inside that mediation, so that's helpful.
Once again, though, this goes back to whether it's a communications issue or whatever issue. I think there are a lot of us that are growing. I'm going to speak for myself. Everybody else can jump in on their own. I'm weary of it.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, I think everybody's weary of it. It's been a lot of, even from the standpoint of fighting about who's going to be the council president, these kinds of things have become very tiresome when you look at the city overall and say, the city's doing well. Why are we fighting about this so much?
Also, I want to people get the new land app. I was looking at a story on the website actually this morning from Jason Johnson about Secretary of State John Merrill taking candidates to court over unpaid fines. Can you give us the cliff notes of this?
Yeah, it's a pretty fascinating story. The cliff notes basically is that Jason's done a lot of work on this. Basically, more than 1,600 candidates and PACs in Alabama were fined in 2018 for campaign finance reporting violations. And so that includes 34 in Mobile County. And so, what we're talking about is just people filing late, filing incorrectly, doing all these things. But, the campaign finance law, that we're supposed to be able to see what's going on and what's happening. A lot of people are just violating the law. They're just not doing a good job with it. The They've already collected $106,000 of possible $201,000 of fines, you know, in the last week, and $14,000 in fines collected from candidates just in Mobile County.
Help me understand. Is this just semantic stuff, like somebody forgot to get the form in on time or didn't, you know,
be all those things, but you know, some people, I mean, you know, here's a strange one. Is like, you know, Napoleon Bracey, who ran, he had no opponent. He ran unopposed, but he ended up with $3,700 in fines for 6 reported filing violations this year. They had no opposition, so...
Right, but that's what I'm getting at. Yeah. So this is 34 in Mobile County. How many did you say statewide?
1,600.
Okay.
Yeah.
That just makes... And this is, you know, bipartisan here for these fines. And it makes me question, is the system so Byzantine? I'm not excusing things, but I think it's worth asking. Is the system so Byzantine that people can't get it right, you know?
I think there's a little of that, but I think there's also a lot of intentional stuff, Sean. I mean, the reporting stuff, you know, we report on this all the time. And so you see people hold on to things until the election's over. And then all of a sudden it shows up. You know, things that might have been weird looking or interesting or even newsworthy that show up suddenly after the election, you know, donations or expenses, the expenditures, things like that. You see it pretty often.
There we go. Check out more in the new land yet. Rob, as always, we appreciate your time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Y'all have a great weekend.
Will do. Programming note coming up today on Midday Mobile. They're halfway across the Atlantic. How about that? Fight or Die, the rowing team, the veterans, halfway across. We're going to talk to them. They got a sat phone, and they're going to join us at 1 o'clock today during Midday Mobile.
Awesome. Exciting.
So y'all check in for that. Yeah, it's good. I can't wait to hear what's up with them. Mike Gallagher on the way next. We'll see y'all at noon.